I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is March 29th, 2014. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today, an essay by Don Batten entitled, Why Do Atheists Hate God? He begins, Recently, I have had a lot of conversations with atheists. Many express a strong hatred of God. I have been at a loss to explain this. Me too, Don. I'm at a loss to understand how someone could hate something that they don't believe exists. Perhaps you misunderstood them. Perhaps what they hate is the horror that belief in God has brought to our planet. That would certainly make a lot more sense than hating someone's imaginary friend. He wrote, How can you hate someone you don't believe in? Don, great question. I believe it's the same one I just asked and answered. Don wrote, Why the hostility? If God does not exist, shouldn't atheists just relax and seek a good time before they become plant food? Well, Don, let's analyze that one. Since they don't believe that your invisible friends are real, then why aren't they relaxing? Perhaps it's because they have learned from 2,000 years of Christian history never to relax within weapon range of Christians. And Don, you can believe that when you die, you are going to float off to fairyland to live with your invisible friend forever. But as far as science can tell, you too will be fertilizing dandelions. He wrote, Why should it matter if people believe in God? Don, the answer to your question lies in 2,000 years of brutal, bloody Christian history. For example, American Indians were doing just fine until Christian invaders killed millions of them and stole their lands. He said, Nothing matters if atheism is true. Don, you have it completely backwards. Since atheists do not believe in an afterlife, this life becomes extremely precious. On the other hand, if your fairy tales are true, then you are the one for whom nothing matters. If you're going to live forever in heaven, then your brief life here becomes utterly meaningless. He wrote, Aldous Huxley, the brother of atheistic evolutionist Sir Julian Huxley, advocated a drug-fueled utopia. He gave the reason for his anti-Christian stance as, quote, I had motive for not wanting the world to have a meaning. The philosophy of meaninglessness was essentially an instrument of liberation, both sexual and political, end quote. Don, by meaning, Huxley meant divine purpose. He didn't mean meaninglessness as you are using the word. Billions have found deep meaning in everyday life without the assistance of invisible friends. He wrote, Like Huxley, some people don't like God because they don't like moral constraints. You can make up your own rules or have none at all if God does not exist. Don, you deceitful little ghost worshiper, you completely ignored laws. I know you aren't that stupid. You are just hoping that your audience is. Society has, in fact, made up its own rules. No society has chosen to have none at all. So your spook is irrelevant to man's laws. Don wrote, They hate God and Christians because they are actually not confident that God does not exist, and seeing Christians may remind them that they are suppressing the truth. Don, seeing Christians only reminds me that the world has a long, long way to go before it can be considered modern. Religion is doing its best to keep everyone locked in the Middle Ages. Fortunately, religious belief is declining worldwide, and the world is finally awakening from its long period of mental illness and beginning to grow up. He wrote, What about atheists who had a church religious upbringing? Don, that would apply to nearly all atheists. He wrote, "Some of them hate God because of evil things done to them by teachers in religious schools or by church leaders, people who on the face of it represented God." Don, on the face of it? You're getting ready to try the no true Christian logical fallacy, aren't you? Those people do represent your God, and they are just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to exposing religious evil. Don continues, "Antipathy towards God is an understandable reaction, sadly, although illogical." Don, you believe in Noah's Ark. What could you possibly know of logic? He said, "Many complain about hell. They are angry at God because of hell." Don, hell is God's greatest embarrassment. Our worst serial killers aren't capable of such evil. He wrote, "I understand that teachers in certain church-based schools and parents in some religious homes commonly use the fear of God to make children behave. They say, 'You are bad. You will burn in hell if you don't behave.' But such a simplistic, works-oriented approach not only trivializes this most serious of subjects, it negates the gospel of God's grace. We are all bad in God's eyes, and behaving properly will not save us. Only Jesus can." Don, Jesus saves less than 1 out of every 3 humans. That's not very impressive for someone who is supposed to be all-powerful and has been working at it for thousands of years. He wrote, "A child who is having difficulties may well conclude that there is no way out for them, leading to years of nightmares about suffering in hell." Don, now you are getting down to the horror that is Christianity. The damage you people have done over the centuries is incalculable. But help is on the way. The internet is allowing atheists to reach more people than ever before. The trend is only heading in one direction, Don, and it isn't yours. He wrote, "Such a troubled teenager hearing an atheist say that evolution explains how we got here and that God is a myth could find this to be a liberating message, a release from their fears." Don, the truth will tend to do that. The age of threats, fear, and Christian-inspired intimidation and hate is slowly coming to an end. That doesn't mean evil is ending. It only means we'll have one less source of evil to contend with. But Don, that is one really big source. He wrote, "The Bible tells us that God is in the business of salvation." Don, God is in business, all right. Salvation is the bait, and terrified humans are the suckers. He wrote, "Though his wrath regarding sin is all too real, we need not suffer it. Those who come to him in repentance and faith will not be turned away." That's right, Don. Their money is just as good as anyone else's. Now he quotes John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Then Don writes, "It is strange that people hate God, who loves so much." Don, that is, provided you join his team. Remember our earlier discussion about where those who refuse to join wind up? Don continues, "Some atheists complain of Christian intolerance in speaking about hell." Don, are you claiming that hell does not demonstrate intolerance? Can you name one thing more intolerant than torturing someone for eternity? No, you cannot. He wrote, "But if those who spurn God's forgiveness..." Don, God's what? Forgiveness? Does God indicate anywhere in the Bible that he will forgive those in hell after a week, a month, a year, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years? Don, you couldn't worship anyone less tolerant than your ghost. He wrote, "They will suffer God's wrath as the Bible teaches." Shouldn't we Christians be warning everyone about the danger and how they can be saved? Don, you people have been warning everyone for 2,000 years. You've been scaring the living hell out of little children for centuries. You people are wicked. The only good news is the ray of hope shown by polls that prove that your death cult is crashing worldwide. America is the last great bastion of Christianity, and polls show that here too, Christianity is beginning its death throes. And Don concludes by writing, "How is that intolerant? It would be extremely unloving not to tell others of this. A gift of Creation Magazine might be a good place to start." Don, Creation Magazine is worth less than the toilet paper you use to wipe your ass. Listeners, if you want a treat, you should visit the website where this essay is posted and read the comments from fantasy-prone ghost worshippers. Some of them are hilarious. And in the Word document associated with this podcast, I provide the link to creation.com. And now we move to the science segment. Today, a promising brain tumor treatment hijacks the monorail that lets cancer spread. Tough-to-treat glioblastoma brain tumors may have met their match in a promising new treatment that hijacks what makes the deadly cancer spread so easily, turning the mechanism against the cancer itself. The new treatment approach keeps cancer drugs out of the brain by directing tumor cells along an artificial track that leads them to tumor drugs, sparing healthy brain tissue that's often damaged by treatment. One attraction about the approach is that it is purely a device. Treating these cancers with minimally invasive films could be a lot less dangerous than deploying pharmaceutical chemicals. Glioblastoma is one of the most common forms of brain cancer, affecting about 10,000 patients each year, about half of whom will die within 15 months of diagnosis. Tumors that arise in the brain without a known origin are called gliomas, and the most malignant forms are glioblastomas. They are aggressive, infiltrative, and cannot be cured by surgery. The tumor spreads throughout the brain on nerve fibers and blood vessels, allowing it to invade new areas that surgeons are typically reluctant to operate on. Even if the main tumor can be removed, it's often spread throughout the brain by the time a person is diagnosed. That's where the new technique comes in. The team designed an alternative fiber out of a polymer called polycaprolactone, surrounded by flexible polyurethane that mimics the surfaces of nerves and blood vessels that glioblastoma cells would typically follow. The fibers are about half the diameter of a human hair. Instead of guiding the cancers to different areas of the brain, the track takes the cells to a tumor collector gel located outside of the brain, containing a drug called cyclopamine, which is toxic to cancer. The scientists tested this novel approach in rats, comparing the effects with the implanted fibers made of a different polymer, or a polycaprolactone fiber without the contours mimicking nerves and blood vessels. After 18 days, they found rats treated with the new technique had tumor sizes reduced by up to 90% compared to the other rats, with cancer cells seen moving the entire length of the fibers into the tumor collector gel. Cancer cells normally latch onto these natural structures and ride them like a monorail to other parts of the brain. By providing an attractive alternative fiber, scientists can efficiently move the tumors along a different path to a destination that they choose. The treatment is far from ready for human use. The Food and Drug Administration requires extensive testing that can take up to a decade, with rat research among the earliest steps. The scientists are hopeful that if successful, the approach may one day be used to treat other diseases as well. If they can provide cancer an escape valve of these fibers, that may provide a way of maintaining slow-growing tumors such that, while they may be inoperable, people could live with the cancers because they are not growing. With ideas like this, people may be able to live with cancer just as they live with diabetes or high blood pressure. And now we move to the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, Timothy Dwight IV, born 1752, died 1817 at the age of 64. Dwight was an American academic and educator, a Congregationalist minister, theologian, and author. He was the 8th president of Yale College for 22 years, from 1795 until his death. Here is the quote from Timothy Dwight. "We formed our Constitution without any acknowledgement of God, without any recognition of His mercies to us, as a people, of His government, or even of His existence. The convention by which it was formed never asked, even once, His direction or His blessing upon their labors. Thus we commenced our national existence under the present system without God." And this quote comes from someone who actually lived at the time and was a religious leader. He was complaining, of course, but what is most important is he proves that the Christian nationalists that we constantly hear from today are spreading pure lies.
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.